When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, I guess we live, huh? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, children and babies, party people in the place to be, to the first ever live edition of the post-apocalyptic quarantine version of the Woke Bros. Obviously, I'm Big Wozni, your co-host with my partners in crime, Nando Vila, and of course, Michael Jamal Brooks. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's up? Good to see your faces.
Yeah, man, same. Today's show, we're going to talk about the suspension of Bernie Sanders' campaign.
I'll try not to cry.
We'll try not to cry and get all sappy and stuff. Mike Bloomberg wants to take over the data of the entire Democratic Party apparatus. Very scary times we're living in. And, of course, a freaking GOPer has suggested that the government subsidized wages up to 80% of American workers. Like 80% of American workers' wages, not 80% of American workers, all American workers. This is the freaking GOP coming out with these kinds of ideas. Helps you know how serious it is. But first, you know, and I want to toss to Nando, and then we can get to Mike, and I'll say my thoughts. But Nando, obviously, I know this was tough, man. Bernie suspending his campaign this week. Just your thoughts, bro.
It was, I didn't think it was going to hit me that hard because it's been a few weeks already since we kind of knew that it was very difficult for him to come back. But once it was announced, it like a wave of emotion kind of washed over me, and it was really sad, man, because I really think that Bernie is kind of a supremely admirable individual, like just on a personal level. Like I can't remember a person in American politics or leadership who is even remotely close to just so admirable on a personal level. This is a man who has dedicated his entire life since high school to, 80 years old, to fight for people who are poor, disenfranchised, the people who get, beat down by this country all the time. And he has just dedicated every single waking moment of his life for that. So I find him to be personally very admirable. So it's very sad to me that realize that we live in a society that looks at a man like that and is like, this man is dangerous. You know, this man is racist or sexist or, some sort of threat to democracy. And I'm like, this guy is so pure. He's so pure. Like, he really feels like the best of us. Obviously, like, there's going to be time to do all the postmortems and, think like what errors were made or what could have been, what if he would have done something different, could he have taken it? There's probably stuff that could have been done better. I know we've talked about it here, but, I think overall, the big picture is that these structural forces in American politics are such that it's so difficult for someone to do that, to someone like Bernie to take over and take state power at that level. It's just, we have 9% union density, it's never like it felt like Bernie was this long shot candidate that could maybe potentially skip a few of the steps that are necessary to change the world for the better. That would have been a huge kind of just shortcut, like a Game Genie cheat code on the Sega Genesis. But, at the end of the day, you got to do all the hard work to build the actual power from the ground up in order to actually change the world. And it's just sad that it couldn't happen for Bernie, because, like I said, I admire him deeply. And the next person that we're going to rally behind is not going to be as admirable as Bernie. It's just impossible. So it's not going to feel as good as it did supporting him the last 4 or 5 years. That's basically my thoughts. It's just, it's a very, very sad thing. It's a defeat. There's no way to get around it. Like, we got our ass kicked. They organized to a degree that was stunning and unprecedented, but they did it. They pulled it off and they won. It's, there's nothing more to say than that.
Yeah. I'm not too far off from Nando. I mean, I'll just say for me personally, I think that even though I wanted Bernie to stay and fight, and a little tiny part of me 3-4 weeks ago was like, all right, maybe there'll be a miracle in Michigan. But I realized, like, as I've been seeing the last couple of days, like, I actually went through this, funnily enough, in LA. I came to Super Tuesday. Nando and I actually did the same live show response together. To Super Tuesday, and obviously Bernie had that great win in California, which not only it's not just that it feels good to remember that, that's actually like important for the future, which maybe we could talk about some other time. But you know, that was it. I mean, you know, I think you've always got to move in between being bold, having a vision of the future. I think cynicism is the enemy. Pessimism is the enemy, no question. And at the same time, you also can't be delusional. And that was it. You know, like, again, I wanted him to keep going and I wanted him to fight. And I wasn't going to really hit that publicly, but that was it. I mean, we went from he's in a strong position to, oh, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when your like favorite team, it's like, you know, 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter and, you know, they're down by, you know, 8 points. And it's like, all right, well, if they hit a three and then they get fouled within 2 seconds, you know, it's like, yes, it's conceivable. Yeah, impossible. And you should always play your heart out. Yeah. But the game is probably done, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, like, you know, and it was weird, man, because and it was also weird because the next day was the day that all of a sudden I saw that there was been some big official warning in LA about Corona. I got to LAX and it was crazy how empty it was. There were people there, but it's a very busy airport that was like way less traffic. Getting on the plane was half empty. And I sat in the plane and thought, like, okay, we've got a virus. Bernie's probably done. Here we are. And I guess maybe that's helped me the past couple of weeks because that's just been my headspace. But I think there are a lot of pieces of analysis we have to do. My criticism is honestly, like, to the extent of things we have control over, it's about the left and making a left that doesn't suck and a left that's better. I think Bernie, yeah, I mean, look, the last thing I'll say is I talk about some of these really amazing Latin American leaders a lot because I think of the people alive today, they are really the best we got. Mm-hmm. Like people like Lula or Pepe Mojica or whatever. And I wish just even on like some of this stuff to me is just like imprinting, like the same way people are watching sports or culture or whatever, you should try to watch the best in your lane. And there's a lot of amazing people in the States, but I don't think, you know, they don't bring it together the way those guys bring it together. And that's what we need to learn on, just even in terms of like selling policies, not replicating what they do. It's a different context, but there's a lot to learn. And, you know, but in that spirit, I agree with Nando, like, yeah, Bernie had his limits, but this is a man who has been slandered, attacked, lied about, and defamed constantly. And the weird bottom line with him is that obviously he's not perfect. Obviously he's human. Obviously. But for modern American politics, that guy is a fucking phenom in the sense of basic care. Like, we all know, like, even as we talk about the next phase of this shit, there is no one else who is more basically humanly concerned about what Donald Trump is doing to the country than Bernie Sanders. Even as these fucking scumbags have said he's the Democratic Trump or any, like, there's no question that there is no one else in public life at that level who spends a fraction of the time concerned about the set of people that Bernie's concerned about. And that's a testament to him. That's amazing. And it also better not just be him if we hope to get out of the mess we're in.
Yeah, you know, for me, obviously Super Tuesday was tough for me. Like, you know, I went to sleep pretty freaking sad and defeated that night for a variety of reasons, which I think I've already mentioned on here. Like, obviously, like, you guys, I admire Bernie as a person, but you know, to me, the campaign was about more than just Bernie individually, right? It's about the people who he was making the forefront of his campaign. Like, these are the people that I want to shine a light on and put at the surface of every time my every single public utterance is about people who go to work every day so that they can put food on the table, send their kids to a decent school. Like, all of the shit we try to front, like, what America's about. So that's why, you know, obviously his campaign and Bernie the man resonated with me. And then on the other side of what, you know, reconciling with his loss and what it means is, like, you know, we got lectured to and patronized by centrist types 4 years ago after Bernie lost. And it was like, well, people don't really want all of this stuff. And the party is more centered than this. And it's like, part of me is like, yo, at a certain level, like, they're kind of right, right? Like, right. Like, at a certain level, you only have to be a celebrity. At a certain level, like, you know, Joe Biden's cynical-ass campaign where he literally said nothing. Like, now he's come out and been like, Bernie Sanders was a trailblazer and this idea, and I want to lower the minimum age for Medicare and all of this stuff. Like, this man said nothing his whole campaign. And it's like, you know, part of me, I guess the idealist in me feels like, wow, like, you can just really just win just on cynicism, just on just saying nothing, doing nothing, being nothing. And, you know, people wanted a candidate who didn't stand for anything. And I'm not, like, this isn't a Joe Biden diss. Like, you can't point to me something like, what was his campaign's platform? I know he's going to come out now and try to energize the people that he knows adores Bernie so much. And he's going to come out now and try to animate that section of the party. I guess the section that the three of us belong to, right? And he's going to come out and do that. But when he ran, he did not do that. He straight up just said nothing. And it's just like, it makes me sad to think, like, this is what people want. Or it's either this is what people want, or they've just been beaten into submission into thinking that the ideas that Bernie espoused are not possible, or they just don't care.
Can I say just real quick? I think that you're 100% right. And the conclusion from, like, what way we interpret that is really important, because I think that there is a contingent of people who are working class people that voted for Biden. There's also the people who just aren't engaged. And I think, honestly, like, you can't build a campaign around people that aren't engaged. Like, I think that is a lesson. Yeah. But I think that those folks, and there is possibility if the left could have a compelling message and, frankly, in some ways be more like Bernie Sanders, I think that is different than what a lot of the Democratic Party is, which is, yeah, I mean, it's affluent suburban types, and they are right wing. You know, by any common measure of it, and they don't care about this shit, and they don't care. And, you know, so I think we got to make a distinction between those two things. Also, like, look, we'll get into, like, Biden and whatever later, but, like, I just want to say really specifically, like, sure, lowering Medicare eligibility to 60 is cool, whatever, fine.
Of course, there's no, like, but nobody would argue that.
Yeah, but my thing is like, not only is that not Medicare for all, which we need, it's also like, if you want to just look at it generationally, like, the people you need are young. The people that are not enthused are young. The people that are getting double fucked from 8 and now this are young. What is lowering the eligibility to 60 do for them?
Well, it makes nothing. It worse for them, actually, because those are it pulls out the most expensive people from the insurance pools. You know, like,
right.
Yeah.
But so, guys, you guys are not looking at it from a cynicism point of view.
No, I am.
I am.
That's not going to do. No, Waz, if we're going to spend the next, I'm not saying we're doing this, but say we're spending the next 6 months being like, guys, it's fucking trash, but vote against Trump. And then we have to have our little piddling things to say.
No, yeah. Mike, well, I'm just saying
that doesn't do anything for us.
I'm just saying I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying Biden and his cynical ass campaign's calculation is, these are my people.
Well, but so the problem is they're not.
Take care of them.
But that's the problem. They're not. Like, old people vote Republican. Like, in every election in modern times, you look at the age difference in the way voters behave, and old people tend to vote Republican. The only way a Democrat can win the presidency is with young people. I mean, that's just a fact. Like, Obama vastly overperformed with young people compared to McCain. You know, like, that's the only way they're going to do it. And I was looking at Biden's numbers with young people yesterday, and his net favorability rating with voters under the age of 34 is underwater by 19 points. 49% of voters under the age of 34 have a negative opinion of Joe Biden. That is astonishing for the Democratic nominee. Like, that is just, that number alone is death for Biden. And the only percentage of young people who have a favorable opinion of Biden is 30. But the real important is the unfavorable rating.
And again, I'm not Biden's campaign, but the cynics are going to say those people don't vote anyway. So who gives a fuck how they feel
about
Biden?
They don't, but that's what they're going to say. Republican.
Oh, no, but that's not true.
That's what they're going to say.
No, the Biden campaign is saying, because that's the flip. They went from trying to do everything to crush this, and now they are still blaming and attacking Bernie supporters. But no, they've said it in reporting. We're scared. We need the Bernie vote. We know we need that. So what honestly just will not stop shocking me here is the Democratic Party leadership, obviously in Congress and Biden, is not that they're not going to endorse our agenda. Of course not. They're right-wing corporatists. But that there isn't somebody like – there isn't, frankly, like the James Carville of today to just sit down and go, well, here's what you – you know what? Like – actual student debt relief, act like a few things that are just like clear bones to that segment is not just like the right thing to do. It's just strategically necessary.
Yeah.
They haven't done it yet.
I hear you. But we got to move on because we're short for time. We want to talk about, and I'm going to let, because Nando's the one that actually brought it to the discussion. I'm going to let you explain it to folks. But Mike Bloomberg's, political consultant agency?
Yeah, it's a company called Hawkfish, which Mike Bloomberg owns.
Is it Hawkfish or Hawkfish?
Hawkfish. Hawkfish would be a little too on the nose for a Democratic political consulting firm. But it's called Hawkfish, which is like a weird name anyway. But it's basically
consulting firm. I literally read that entire long ass Intercept piece.
Thinking he was hawkish. Yeah. it's not inaccurate. But basically Mike Bloomberg created this company to run his campaign, to be the company that runs his presidential campaign. And, you know, his presidential campaign, which we covered, you know, spent $800-900 million to, you know, get like 12 votes.
To get
votes.
Three delegates. Yeah.
but now that company is pitching the Joe Biden campaign to basically buy his campaign, to run his campaign. Right, to just take over and buy his campaign, and to do the same thing with the Democratic Party, to become sort of the campaign, the political consulting firm that basically does all of the political operations for the Democratic Party. And what they're pitching is
that— Hold on, Nando, before you move on, I just want people to understand that the company that's in the running to run, they're being considered to run the presidential campaign of Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee for president.
Yeah.
And the House of Representatives arms of the Democratic Party is the company that ran Mike Bloomberg's campaign and got him three delegates with $900 million. And that's their qualifications. They did dick for Mike Bloomberg with all the money in the world. That's their qualifications. Yeah. That they're being considered now. Please continue, Nando.
And the big pitch that they're saying is that, look, Bloomberg's got so much money that he's willing to deficit finance all of these political operations, meaning like he'll spend his own money to take over this party infrastructure. It's essentially a takeover of the entire political party's apparatus, their data, their infrastructure. To the extent that the political party has any infrastructure, Mike Bloomberg wants to own it straight up, like the nominally left of center party in the United States is going to go to be owned by a single billionaire.
Wants to be in charge of the data apparatus of the Democratic Party. This is insanity.
And that has implications. Like, if I read the article correctly, like the state parties and like the state part, the Democratic Party is like a shell. It's really dysfunctional. The only thing it's really able to do is get Barack Obama to make some calls to like make sure people don't have health care by electing Bernie. But like theoretically, like every campaign has access to like shared databases or whatever. My reading of this piece is that this would actually affect that type of thing.
Yeah.
So basically you have a firm that is essentially saying on the upfront, we can do this at a pittance, right? So you'll save money, and then in exchange, we'll almost become like a privatized product of Bloomberg LLC.
Basically.
And I think, you know, this again, it's just like, I'm not interested in third party delusions or whatever. I'm not I want us to really have an honest conversation about where we're at and how fucking dire it is. And at the same time, like, this is also why, like, if you're going to tell people to vote against Trump, you simply got to just talk about Trump. Like, you cannot give people bedtime stories about like, yeah, Bernie's really important. Bernie's done incredible shit. There is a movement there. There is momentum. And people are going to get radicalized right now because of what's happening. But the Democratic Party, I'm not talking like little, like people get into all these nitpicks, like, well, you know, 10 years ago, there was like twice the amount of Democratic senators who, you know, were part of the blue dog, whatever. Now more of them co-sponsor, like, no, whatever. I don't care about the nitpick. Big picture, ideologically, the Democratic Party has definitely not moved to the left. And there's moves right now to consolidate it on the oligarchic right. And that is the actual playing field that we got to just know.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I agree with you. Like, the third party thing, you know, people always talk about, like, oh, you're going to vote for Greens or whatever. Like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that, you know, there has to be some strategic discussion about how to operate within the constraints of our political system with the knowledge that the Democratic Party is increasingly consolidating in specific ways to block any left-wing insurgency, right? Like, that's the reality, with the help of billionaires like Mike Bloomberg.
I just love the idea
and
that
I don't know what the answer is.
And these same people, and this is the problem, man. It's like these same people that were like, would do this lame ass argument, which was like, well, Bernie's not even a Democrat. Bernie's not a Democrat. Like, this was a thing that they thought was, like, a thing. And so what's Mike Bloomberg then? Mike Bloomberg's a Democrat? Like, on what planet is this dude a Democrat?
That all this shit was doesn't mean a fucking thing. Like, that's why, come on. Like, what is the most stark example of this? Like, the whole Democratic Party right wing is literally, and I'm saying this very consciously because I find the way they use this actually very disgusting. And they would throw black voters and have thrown black voters overboard constantly. But they're using South Carolina electorate as a green mile strategy of like, our magical friends saved us and they get it. And they'll valorize that all day and then go to Nevada.
Yeah.
Nevada, he crushes it with if that's your mode. Let's talk about people of color. Let's talk about the emerging demographics. He fucking work to do with older African Americans, no question. He crushed Hispanic voters by every single metric that is not even discussed.
Me and producer Rob Lopez don't count.
Yeah. Rob Lopez does not count.
He does not count.
He just doesn't count because he's under 40. Or so he tells us.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the fucking, you know, like, of course it doesn't matter. And concretely, it doesn't matter to them. They like, yeah, Bernie wasn't a Democrat in the sense that he was a pain in the ass trying to do something for people in Congress. And Mike Bloomberg, I don't care. Mike Bloomberg could, you know, he gave me money. That's what we care about. And by the way, so I will say on the flip side, like, Bernie should have just become a Democrat. Like, that's
for sure.
just am over. Like, you're running the primary, you're doing, it's not going to make that big of a difference, but even if it makes a 2% difference, like, you're fighting a fucking uphill battle. So take away all possible weaknesses. Like, why the fuck?
It's such an easy, it's just a, such an easy give, even if we know it's meaningless, you know, it's ridiculous. Now, you know, we can move on from, again, another freaking Democratic Party apparatus blunder, and, you know, and again, like, I just, I hate being condescended to by the centrists, but, like, this is stupid. This is stupid. So let's just move on. Yeah, so, and Mike, you actually tweeted about this, he's a senator, right?
A senator from Missouri.
From that's why I didn't know. Crawley from Missouri.
Hawley.
Say that again?
Josh Hawley.
Hawley, not Crawley. Sorry, I'm getting my white boys confused.
Rand's a white boy, I will say.
You know, he comes out this week and he says, he believes that obviously the stimulus package doesn't do enough for working families and workers, that the American government should subsidize wages up to 80% of American workers. And this is up to the median American wage, whatever that number, whatever they decide that number is, right? Again, and I want to harken back to what I was talking about with the Biden campaign, right? Like, obviously nobody wants Trump to win. But again, like, where are these ideas at? What are you running on that a freaking GOP or like, and this is the thing, you can say whatever you want about the GOP, man. They are in lockstep, bro. When they need to get their shit done, they just straight up lockstep. Like, the idea that a GOP would come out and say, yo, like, we need to put money in people's pockets ASAP. And then they would come out and be at the forefront of this, the face of this, well, again. I mean,
to be fair, they like the Koch brothers group have attacked him for this and whatever. And there is a little bit of a battle there. But, like, this is what I would say about this. He also is sponsoring a piece of legislation to basically mandate that, like, things like pharmaceuticals and other essential life-saving services need to have American independent supply lines. That's also something that is really important right now, right? So I guess my thing is like, honestly, a couple years ago, I actually was like, look, Trump definitely hit that winning formula rhetorically, but at the end of the day, the Republicans are still the Republicans. Their main thing they've done the last couple of years is, you know, give corporations reign to be even worse.
The main thing
they passed was a huge tax cut for rich people. Yeah. And the reason I was like, look, like, being like a populist right winger like Tucker Carlson, that's a great media position. But at the end of the day, this company, you could say, this party's just like, it's a one percenter party that does white identity politics. That's it. But in recent months, and Josh Hawley's the dude to watch, very extreme far right guy, but he's the one who's getting out ahead of, like, well, I don't need to read Milton Friedman. Like, people need their wages. And incidentally, that's like pretty popular position. Like, we prove that in a state like Missouri that does have some real, I mean, it's been crushed, but it has a history of unionism and electing Democrats in some places. And he's already like, okay, I can beat them by being like a hardcore Christian conservative, but I could fucking open up a fucking decades long ruling project if I start taking care of people's medicine and wages. Oh,
it's
scary as hell. And I just think, like, the thing with I think partially
it's scary when I got to start voting for white supremacy, Mike. If they become the party of the working man, I might have to become Republican, man.
I mean, but that's what is, you know what it is? Cause we joke, and I don't think that will actually happen in a mass way, but look,
Dude,
what's so crazy is that if Republicans got 5% more of the black vote and 5% more of the Hispanic vote,
they'd be unstoppable.
Done. Done. And the Democrats are, it's like, again, and this is like, because I get, like, by the way, the most annoying Twitter response ever is when you tweet something out and people are like, the Democrats did it on purpose. They understood. Just calm the fuck down. I understand what you're saying, but relax. Like, if I tweet that the Democrats got played, I don't need you to like run and remind me that they're bad. Calm the fuck down. But I will say that I think one way in which they are genuinely dumb and not of the moment, and it isn't all just on purpose, is that I think they still – they aren't really watching Tucker or seeing what Josh Hawley's doing, and they still assume that at the end of the day, they'll be the ones that will give you 2% or 10% while the Republicans give you next to nothing. Like, hey – we're going to gradually immiserate you, but the Republicans are going to run a home invasion. And I think they're still used to that. And I'm not sure that that might end up changing.
Yeah, I don't think that the Republic, like you said, the structural forces behind the Republican Party are such that they're never going to be anything other than a purely oligarchical party. But the oligarchy might make a calculation that it's worth using the Republican Party as a vehicle to give them, like you said, instead of 0% while Democrats are offering 2%, to just maybe offer 4% or 5%, you know, and package it in the way Republicans do, which is always much better than Democrats, make a big grandstand of it, you know, like make it all kind of very obvious. And like you said, peel off 5% black voters, 4% Latino voters, and then they are unstoppable. Like that's just and while the Democrats are just stuck in this kind of impasse, the rock and a hard place of
now,
like
the Democrats got books.
That's what the Democrats they got
Ta-Nehisi
nice
Coates'
like,
next book to go to keep them warm.
Why you're not woke enough. Like, they got like, hey, maybe you wouldn't deindustrialize if you learn how to code and fucking, you know, read Jezebel. Like, that's literally what they have.
Yeah. And like, you got to say the right words and you can't say the wrong words and you got to consume the correct podcasts and not the incorrect podcasts and all that stuff. Like, like they could become that party. And like they said, like, they're so, I do genuinely think both. Like what you're saying, I get those responses on Twitter all the time. Like when Trump fired the watchdog guy who was supposed to watch the fucking stimulus package. Yeah. I was like, Democrats got played again. And they're like, no, they didn't. They didn't get played. They're in on the thing. And I'm like, I know. But like, they also get played all the time, even in the narrow.
So the response is that the Democrats are part of Trump's administration.
Well, that's part of the broader system.
Exactly why that's so dumb is it's like, yes, the big picture is that they co-designed a bailout that's mainly to give resources to corporate America. That's Republican and Democrats, obviously. But no, of course they wanted some oversight. And he fucking – and by the way, on the flip side, to not be too cynical about it, the way Trump just said, yeah, not going to do it, that's totally dangerous and authoritarian.
Of course.
Also part of what's happening here, too.
Which is – I tweeted like kind of half as a joke a few weeks ago that the Democrats have a cuck fetish, you know, like, and that's part of what their role is. Like, they want to get played. Like, they get played, but they also want to get played at some deep kind of level. They want to get like owned. But the thing about this whole dynamic is that the Democrats just risk being irrelevant forever. And what it leaves for the left is no vehicle to that, like, because we're not going to take over the Republican Party. It's just not going to happen.
No.
You know, no. Like, that's just not going to happen. So what is there left? I mean, it's just it's incredibly. I genuinely don't know the answer.
And look, you know, and we got to get out of here because Michael has very important things to do.
Very important.
And we want to let
important,
him go.
Very, very important people to talk to.
But look, and
I
can't
I
just...
I got to line up my new... I got to do make sure that the shave stays clean. Get the little towel off. Yeah.
Look, and I just want to say this, and this
is
why it's
we're
going to
do a live Twitch stream of you shaving.
while this whole thing is distressing.
Sorry, Wiles. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. No, what the fuck was that? Oh, yeah. No. The reason why I want to get out on this is that, look, you can't harp on it enough. With the wave of a pen, we put $2 trillion back into the freaking economy. Mostly so, and like, you know, $400 billion of which went to the plebs, us. But mostly, a lion's share of it went to propping up corporations and all these other ridiculous companies that, you know, go belly up being greedy sons of bitches. And so and this is not happening in secret, guys. It's public information. It's not hiding. You don't have to dig far to find out. It's right there for everybody to understand that when we don't get healthcare, when we can't just do something as easy, the easiest shit would have been infrastructure. Yep. Shit is bad. It needs to be rebuilt. Those would be great jobs. Like, there's actually a, like, the, that would be government money going into people's pockets and building the country back up. Like, everybody agrees this needs to happen. We literally can't do it. The airlines go, you know, go belly up after years and years of billions of dollars in profit. They can't withstand a freaking virus. And it's like, oh, 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 here you go, guys. Like, if the people can't see it, I don't know what else to freaking say, guys.
I think the people can see it. And I think a lot of people are disgusted, but I do think a lot of people really don't yet see the viability of fighting it. And then I also think we got to be, you know, really, really on top of not making fighting it seem special or weird or out there. Like, you know, like even like I want people who are like, I am a socialist, but I like we should be talking to small business people, like real small business, not Republican bullshit. But I'm talking like bodega owners, mechanics. There's millions of people. They don't know all this fucking terminology. They're not like whatever. But they've got serious interests. They're getting fucked, and they shouldn't have to feel like they have to like join a secret club to be part of a strategy to fight back against this.
Yeah.
I put it really well.
Yeah, excellent.
It was frankly, I thought bodega, how I did.
The great guys, the bodega guys, the cats.
Yeah. Do you think we should play that clip? I could pull it up right now.
Pull it up.
Let's play it real quick.
And this man, this is a clip of. Sorry, just to set it up. This is a clip of Shamit.
I can play it through the stream once.
Oh, okay. Play it through the screen. Play it through the screen.
Describe it while I get it.
Technology, but it's
a,
dude.
But it's a clip of I can't pronounce this homie's name, man. Chamath, I can't do it.
He does a great job.
Exactly. The point is, he does a great job. He's a minority owner in the Golden State Warriors. He owns his own like money management firm. All of this stuff. He went on CNBC and he was basically, and the guy on CNBC was like, "This is a natural disaster. Like, billionaires and corporations deserve to be saved." And he's like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
No, why? They don't. And here's fucking why. It was just great. And we can end off on that. Rob, you say you're going to play that in the stream?
But are you suggesting, you keep saying propping up zombie companies. Are you arguing to let airlines, for example, fail?
Yes.
Why? I mean, how does that make sense in the broader scheme of the economy?
Because it's not, because when you look at what it means, this is why I'm saying, like, this is a lie that's been purported by Wall Street. When a company fails, it does not fire their employees. It goes through a packaged bankruptcy, right? If anything, what happens is the people who have the pensions inside those companies, the employees of these companies, end up owning more of the company. The people that get wiped out are the speculators that own the unsecured tranches of debt or the folks that own the equity. And by the way, those are the rules of the game. That's right, because these are the people that purport to be the most sophisticated investors in the world. They deserve to get wiped out. But the employees don't get wiped out. The pensions don't typically get wiped out.
Why does anybody, I just don't understand, why does anybody deserve, using your word, to get wiped out from a crisis created like this? How does anybody deserve to get wiped out?
Well, but just be clear, like, who are we talking about? We're talking about a hedge fund that serves a bunch of billionaire family offices. Who cares? Let them get wiped out. Who cares? They don't get the summer in the Hamptons. Who cares?
I mean, there are people. You don't think the employees?
Hold on, Scott.
You don't think the employees of these companies own stocks? I mean, own their stocks, own the company's stocks?
You can look on Bloomberg and you can see what percentage of these companies are typically owned by. These things are owned by BlackRock. These things are owned by these huge, you know, amorphous organizations. Ultimately, downstream, and the employee owns a few $100s or a few $1,000s of shares.
Well, I just don't understand. So this is like a natural disaster. And why does anybody deserve to get wiped out? Wouldn't that be immoral in and of itself?
No, because what's happening right now is what I'll tell you is, on Main Street today, people are getting wiped out. And right now, rich CEOs are not. Boards that had horrible governance are not. Hedge funds are not. People are. 6 million people just this week alone basically saying, holy mackerel, I don't know how I'm going to make my own expenses for the next few weeks, days, months. So it's happening today to individual Americans. And what we've done is disproportionately prop up and protect, poor performing CEOs, companies, and boards. And you have to wash these people out.
I want to thank everybody for coming out and catching the first live Woke Bros. Obviously, want to thank my fellow co-hosts, Mike and Mando. We'll see you guys next week, man. Keep fighting the power, y'all, but do it sanitized. Thank you. Bye, y'all.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.